You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This Memorial Day, we remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Thank you from all of us at Sports Radio 610. In for In the Loop, here's Luke Morrow and Chris Partee.
Have these NBA playoffs changed how you look at the Rockets offseason? Get to that here on In the Loop. Luke Morrow and Chris Partee, happy to be filling in for the guys here on Memorial Day, and hopefully you're having a great day as well as we remember those who sacrificed their lives for our freedoms and to allow us to do this, for example, each and every day. I do want to get, before we get to the Rockets, I do want to circle back to last hour we were talking about Nick Caley and Cole Popovich and the Patriots, and it's a little bit of a red, maybe not a red flag, maybe an orange or a yellow flag, right?
A
yellow
beige flag
for me, sure.
Say a beige,
yeah. Yeah, let's do beige. Pick your color. A caution flag where when given opportunities to be elevated with the Patriots, they never were. But I do love this text from the 832. This is why I bring it back up. He said, I think Bill Belichick probably didn't want to pick Nick Caley to be his offensive coordinator because he was too afraid to pick a young guy who might steal his girlfriend.
Wow.
Text of the day. Text of the day.
I mean, it's not out of the, you know, ordinary, I guess, you know, to say that that could happen, or maybe he thought that could happen. When your girlfriend's, what, 24? She 24 now?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that?
She's been lying about her age.
Oh, has she?
She's 24? Or you said she was lying about her age.
I've heard she's 24, though. Maybe she's not.
She's made herself older.
Oh, how old is she now? 34?
I think she might be 24.
Okay, but she's saying she's older.
Yeah, so all along, she's made herself only like a year older.
Okay.
But because the question becomes when they met, I think they said she was 20 when they met. She was actually only 19.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I see. I just say that because I'm 24.
You're 24?
Yes,
sir. Colin trying to shoot his shot. He's trying to shoot his shot.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I'm not. Hey, we not mad at you, dog.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How old is she actually?
Yeah, exactly. He perked up. He's like, she's 24? Yeah.
Nah, come on, man.
She's 24?
Do you ever add years? You ever add years to your age to make yourself seem older, like she's done?
Add to my age?
Yeah. Do you try to pretend like you're older than you are?
No, I add more to my height, actually.
Oh,
no,
well, that's common. Yeah,
everybody does.
I'm 5'8". Sometimes I like to tell people I'm
fudge it a little bit.
I'm 5'10", actually.
I mean, you know, hey, if you can make it work, you know.
I'm 5'10" in shoes.
That's right. I'm 6'7". I'm just sitting down right now.
Right.
You're 6'7"?
Yeah, that's what I tell people.
I mean, you're not short though.
No,
you're not short.
I'm probably 6'3".
So, I mean, yeah.
No, I don't lie. No, I've been blessed. I don't have to lie about
my height. You're not short at all. So, I mean, I don't know why you're telling people. I get it. 6'7".
Yeah.
That's a great height. Yeah. That'll be a great height.
Yeah.
I know who to invite when I go hit the rec sometime. I'll just have Luke post up.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. I'll throw some elbows in there.
Throw some bows.
That's right.
All right, Luda. Was that ludicrous?
I'll go. Yeah. I'll go run our test.
Oh, man, don't do that.
Would you invite Ron Artest? Didn't Artest, he spent time, right, in Houston?
Yes, you know what? That's enough. I think it was like a year. I don't think it was that long.
He's, by the way, he's currently going by Meta Sandiford Artest. Sandiford is his wife's name. Yeah, he spent a year with the Rockets.
Yeah.
Would you invite Meta World Peace to your cookout?
I was a Ron Artest fan before he even got to the Pacers. I loved him at St. John's. So, yeah. But I, when I played basketball, I was more of like a defensive guy. Mm-hmm. I could score a little bit, but I wasn't like, I was never going to be a star scorer on anybody's team. Now, he could really fill it up, but he was known for lockdown defense. That's what it taught. I loved Ron Artest. Like, so yeah, I would definitely have him at the barbecue, the cookout, yeah, the grill off, like whatever it is, the chili cook off, don't matter. Ron Artest has always got an open invite for me.
It'd be interesting, that's for sure.
It'd be interesting, yes.
So I brought this question up with Lopez on this show a couple weeks ago, and then I've heard it recycled on other shows since. No problem. I'll take the credit.
Luke out here starting trends, man. Starting trends.
Be a trendsetter, not a follower.
That's right. But I do want to ask you this question, Chris, because when you and I worked together previously one time around the holidays, we started a movement. You started a movement.
That's right.
De'Aaron Fox. Now, it was a little bit like Heaven's Gate. It was a movement that ultimately went nowhere.
It didn't happen.
But we started a movement, and De'Aaron Fox did not make his way to Houston.
No.
But I do want to ask you.
He got close, though.
Did he?
San Antonio?
Oh, close. Yeah.
Yeah. Geographically.
Yeah, okay.
He's close.
Okay, Chris.
Yeah. I'm
getting tentacle here. Come on, man.
Can I get a win once, please? Can I just have something?
Luka almost played for the Rockets, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but I want to ask you the question of, when you look at these final four teams, does it change how you would view what the Rockets need to do? Because when you look in the East, the Knicks, their star is Jalen Brunson, but he's not like that Kevin Durant Giannis star. And when the Knicks acquired him, he was not viewed the same as he is now. It's kind of an under-the-radar move.
A little bit.
His former agent was running the Knicks. Rick Brunson, his father, played for the Knicks and now is a coach because Jalen. So it was a little bit of, you know, they knew where the bodies were buried, so to speak. The Pacers traded for Tyrese Haliburton, but same idea. Like, the thought when they made that move was not, this guy's going to hit a bunch of buzzer beaters in the playoffs, and he's going to be our star. And now you look at the Pacers are almost in the finals.
And even more recently, he's been called underrated.
That's
the
right.
Most underrated player in the league.
By his peers.
Yeah.
And then the West, they do have stars. Anthony Edwards, who has been far too inconsistent this postseason.
Yeah.
And SGA, but those are two guys that were drafted and developed. And I know a lot of Jalen Green fans might try to draw parallels. So my question for you with all this setup is, when you look at these four teams remaining, does it change how you view the Rockets of, oh, you know what? Maybe they don't need to go get a Durant or a Giannis. Maybe they could just develop, or maybe they could get that middle-of-the-road guy like a Brunson who comes in and you turn him into your star, and that's how you can try to be, you know, one of the best teams in the West.
I mean, personally, I'm not a big fan of them going out to get, say, a Kevin Durant. Or, now, I know Giannis is a superstar. He's one of those. I'm a guy, I believe there's, you know, maybe a handful of like actual superstars in the NBA. Like, I don't just throw that term around willy-nilly like a lot of people do.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I don't think you can have 15 superstars in the league because, okay, well, if everyone's a superstar, then what does the word really mean anymore?
Yeah, it's not that super anymore.
It's not. It's really not. So, but even with the Giannis, you're going to have to give up so much to get a Giannis, just even in the simple notion of matching contracts, you know, making the money work. Along with, now I get, you know, if the Rockets are still going to be good, I guess the first round draft picks don't mean as much, but they do have other people's picks like the Suns.
Yeah.
And I forget who else it is, but they have a multiple Suns picks over the next few years as far as first round picks. And then they have swaps and, you know, the NBA with all these swaps and these, you know, protected picks and all these things. But I'm not a fan of them going out to get, say, a Durant. Now, if you want to talk about like a mid-level star, like you just mentioned, maybe do something like that. But I don't think they have to go get a Kevin Durant per se.
So you think they could kind of fit that Knicks-Pacers model?
I believe so. I mean, I think you got a good nucleus here. Now, if it comes down to, you know, a case where maybe you have to give up a Jalen Green to make a move to bring in one of those mid-level stars as well, then depend, you know, you got to see who it is and maybe you make that move. But I believe you also have a burgeoning star here in Amen Thompson, who I think is only going to continue to get better and better every year. I mean, he's first team all defense this year, and this is his second year in the league. He finished top five in defensive player of the year voting. Like, that's a guy who's going to be a perennial all-defensive guy, in my opinion. He's going to continue. He may not make first team every year, but he's going to be at least be on the second team. I would say, you know, he stays healthy the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years. He's going to be in that mix most of those years. And I think eventually, I believe offensively, he also has the game to make a couple all-NBA teams. You know, maybe not first team, but, you know, third team, possibly second team at some point. I think he's a guy that you can make part of your core group of two or three, along with Alperen Sengun and possibly Jalen Green, to make that your big three and kind of build around those guys. I believe Amen Thompson is that good.
So you, so you think the pieces are already there?
Yeah, I think I think some of the pieces are there. Now, you got to get a little more shooting.
For sure.
We don't know what's going to happen with Reed Shepard. We don't know if they're going to hold on to him or if he, because if you do go out and try to get a star, another team is probably going to ask for a Reed Shepard in that mix, mm-hmm. you know, along with, you know, maybe a Tari Eason and a couple other guys, right? But I think you kind of have that nucleus already in place when it comes to Sengun, Thompson, and, you know, potentially if they keep Jalen Green. Now, I know people are down on Jalen Green right now because of the playoff performance. You know, game two, he scored 38, but outside of that, he didn't do much in this postseason. But maybe it's just me. It was his first playoff series. For a lot of young players, they struggle in their first playoff series, especially against a team like the Warriors, who have that experience not just going to championships, but winning them and winning multiple within the last decade. Now, next year, if they play the Warriors again, I think they have a really good shot at beating them and getting over that hump. They took them 7 games this year. It took the Warriors 7 games to get rid of this young nucleus. Now, yeah, they have some veterans with Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks and other guys, but Steven Adams, who I think Steven Adams is a free agent and pretty much said goodbye to the fans on Twitter.
Did he say goodbye?
Yeah, like it sounded like that. A goodbye. He's a free agent. I don't know if they're going to resign him. So that's one spot you're going to need to plug, because when it comes to rebounding, there's not many better than Steven Adams when he's healthy and protecting the rim. They're not many better, even though he's, you know, a little older now. He's still really good at what he does.
Yeah, he's just kind of more of a luxury right now, and I don't know if they could find it, financially.
Yeah,
to be able to bring him back.
Like, going off of what he said on social media, his post he put up, it didn't sound like he was probably going to be back. Not by his choice, I don't think. I think by the team's choice.
From the 281, they say Amen Thompson's three-point shooting percentage went from 14% his rookie year to 28% last year. If it takes another step like that, he's going to be a major problem. I certainly agree.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's easier to go from 14% to 28% than to go from 28% to 42%.
Definitely.
But I do agree, and I've said this before, shooting is the one thing. You might not think it, but shooting is the one thing you can improve during your NBA career. I mean,
like, Magic drastically.
Did it. LeBron did it. Michael Jordan did it. Some of the all-time greats did it.
Jason Kidd did it late in his career.
Yeah.
He was not known for shooting when he came into the league in the mid-90s.
It was Jason Kidd, right? Jason without a J.
Exactly. That's what they called him.
Yeah, he didn't have that jumper.
He eventually became a pretty... Now, it was a set shot. He couldn't move with the ball and, you know, just shoot on the pull-up. But that set shot, especially in the corner... He mastered that by the end of his career, last few years of his career.
Yeah, so you can develop that. And that's something he certainly needs to develop, Amen Thompson. He's got to get better than 20% range.
But he's in year two. Mm-hmm. I think he'll get better. He doesn't need to shoot it at 40. If he can get up to 35% from three, I think you're good. I think he's good there. I don't think he needs to be at 40. Because shooting over 40, those are some of the better shooters in the league, like tops. In the league, shooting 40, 41, 42, and so on, right? I don't think he needs to get into that range to be a problem, as the texter said.
Yeah, he doesn't need to get there,
for sure. It'd be great, but I think he has so many other attributes in his skill set. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to be that 40% three-point shooter. He can do a lot of other things, even offensively.
Yeah, if he could just get closer. But 40% is kind of that average. Like, Dylan Brooks shot 40% from three this year. And I don't think anyone would consider Dylan Brooks like a great three-point shooter in the league.
Well, he's not a volume shooter.
40% is kind of that. They've become such great shooters in the league now.
But I think
he's going to be over 40.
But even the league average is somewhere around like 36.
Is it still that low?
Yeah, it's somewhere around 36, maybe 37-ish. It's not average to shoot 40. I don't believe it is. No, not yet. So... But again, if Amen Thompson, if he gets to there, that's a bonus. If he gets to 40, 41%, that's just a bonus because he can get inside and get to the cup, you know, with the best of them. He has that ability to do that. I mean, what is he, 6'7"? He's long. He's that. He's like your quintessential, you know, small forward three guy, wing guy, you should say.
Yeah. 36% was the average this year for three, 37% last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, you know, 36 to 37%. If he could get to 35, 36, you don't think Houston fans would take that?
Oh, of course.
The team would take that.
Absolutely.
That's, you know, so that's just a bonus if he gets to 40.
Yeah. The defense is there. He's got to improve the offense. Amen Thompson.
I think he will.
He could be real dangerous.
I think he will.
I compared him to Dwight Howard last week in that regard, where Dwight early was a great defensive player, was incredibly athletic on offense, but just needed to still improve that skill set. Come up with some post moves, come up with a little, you know, baby hook, a little bunny. But
he never did.
Yeah, that's a problem. He could have been one of the most dominant players of all time, Dwight Howard. Still a Hall of Famer, but he could have been.
Definitely.
He could have been, just like people say about Shaq, you know, if Shaq worked harder, he could have been the greatest center of all time.
And he was still great.
Yeah, both had much higher ceilings. Goodness. Well, certainly more so Dwight. Hey, it's that time to get some things off of our chest. We have to make some confessions when we come back. It's In the Loop.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, presented by the Men's Clinic on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Luke Morrow, Chris Partee in for the guys today. Colin Neal on the steel wheels for Figgy Fig.
Yep.
Working up a mixtape and
steel wheels.
That's right.
Never heard of that.
Really?
Yeah. It's a great Rolling Stones album as well.
That's my confession right there.
That's your confession. Have a good day.
You got it out of the way. Hey, is it?
Perfect.
Good job, Colin.
Yeah, we're in for the fellas, but we still got confessions of our own. My confession to begin is, I don't understand why the Astros aren't playing today. And what I mean is, I mean, I get why they just played 17 straight, but baseball does such a poor job at this where Memorial Day and July 4th and Mother's Day and Father's Day. I'm trying to think of other days, maybe even Labor Day. These are days that every team in Major League Baseball should be playing, and we should have games all day long for Major League Baseball. These are the, you know, the NFL owns Thanksgiving. It's now taking over Christmas, but the NBA always owned Christmas. Major League Baseball, these are your holidays. Though no other sports are going on. People are home from work. They're out in the yard all day. Have baseball all day. And yet, not all the teams are playing today. They did this last year on July 4th, where they gave teams the day off on July 4th. There should be a home game for the Nationals every July 4th. They always play at 11 a.m. I don't think they had one last year. There should be a home game for the Red Sox, for the Yankees, probably the Dodgers, certainly the Cubs, every July 4th. Memorial Day, too. And today, to have some teams not be playing today, I think it's a missed opportunity by Major League Baseball. I think it's stupid. I think the NFL does a great job with their schedule. I think the NBA does a pretty good job with their schedule. They can't help that their stars rarely play in games.
Not their fault, completely.
And Major League Baseball, I think, just they do a poor job with this stuff. You should own this day. You should own July 4th. Every team should be playing. You should have games all day. They should be national games. And instead,
Astros, not even playing. Today's supposed to be a baseball day. I got my baseball jersey on. We've been talking.
Nice jersey.
Astros, thank you. We've been talking Astros today. This is supposed to be a baseball day. Why the Astros don't have a game today, I don't get the scheduling for Major League Baseball.
So why do you think MLB is not?
I don't know. I have no idea. Weird. They did it last year on July 4th where they gave, like, I think it was eight teams had the day off. Why? It's July 4th. That's supposed to be your big day. Like I said, the NFL has Thanksgiving. The NBA always had Christmas. You should have July 4th, and I even throw Memorial Day into that as well. It's a day off. People are out. It's a good day to have baseball on the radio while you're grilling. You have family over. You're checking on the game out by the pool, whatever. And the Astros aren't playing today. It's a missed opportunity. I don't get it.
As you chill with Charles Barkley.
These are my confessions.
All right, I guess that means I'm up, right?
Yep.
Colin already did his short confession. That's fine. Luke got some things off his chest there. All right, mine has nothing to do with sports, I think. All right, so I went to the store the other day, and with one specific item that I had to have, along with a couple others that I wanted, but I forgot that item, and this is one of those items. I want you guys to guess what that item was, but this is one of those items where if you don't have it, eventually, you will find yourself at home in a compromising position.
Toilet paper?
Yes.
Oh, man.
But I didn't realize it until I was in that.
That's always the worst.
Compromising position. Man. And when you're someone who lives by themselves, you kind of got to, figure it out, right? So
it's kind of like sports. You got to make adjustments.
Exactly. There were adjustments that had to be made. They were not pretty adjustments at that. And on top of that, what I had to use as a substitution was all the way in the living room and the blinds were pulled back. So I'm just going to leave that to your imagination on what I had to do to kind of, rectify this, this predicament that I put myself in. I can't blame anyone for this. But yeah, that's my confession that, I had to, strut through my apartment, pants at ankles, to try to find something to finish the job with.
Man, there you go.
Not a proud moment, but it happened.
It happens to everyone.
It happens. Yeah. Eventually, it probably will happen to everyone.
You could just hop in the shower.
You know what? I probably could have done that, but at the time on the fly, I did not know. I had Kleenex in the next room.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of to go get, but it just put me in a compromising, and Kleenex isn't always as soft as Charmin.
Oh, absolutely.
So, just one of those things. It happened. Huh? Not proud of it, but it happened.
Yeah, that's the worst. I mean, Seinfeld did a whole episode on it with Elaine. It's brutal when you sit down to do your business and then you realize you're fresh out. Not much you can do there.
Not fun. Not fun at all.
These are my confessions.
So I was talking about this with Chris. Sometimes I'm just gonna keep it simple. Sometimes I forget how white my skin is because I have gotten sunburnt twice in the past 2.5 weeks. Like,
well, damn.
Bad. Like, bad. Because...
Where were you?
Mowing.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So, I need to stop wearing just a t-shirt and shorts. I need to wear actual jeans and probably a long-sleeve shirt. I mean, the face is covered up, thankfully. I'm smart enough at least to wear a hat and some sunglasses. But I just forget about everything else, and it is a
sunscreen. Huh?
It's a pain. Like literally, I stood up the next day, and I'll do one of the riding lawnmowers because it's a bit. There's a lot of land that we have to cover for our house. But next day I could not even stand still for like more than 10 seconds because it would hurt that bad.
Yeah, that just sounds miserable.
It
just sounds miserable.
Yeah, so that's my confession. I need to wear sunscreen.
Yes, you do,
I need to dress
sir.
Properly. Yeah. I'm an idiot. I'm a dummy.
I ain't gonna call you all that, but you do need to get... You do need... need to invest in some sunscreen. It don't cost that much, Colin.
But I do have aloe vera, though, for afterwards.
If you think the better option is to wear jeans and long-sleeve shirt in 95-degree weather instead of just using sunscreen,
I'd rather sweat than...
So you're trying to get a workout, like an extra workout.
It is basically a workout.
It is a workout. Mowing the lawn is a workout.
Why, you got like a wrestling meet this weekend? What do you got to cut weight for?
He's trying to cut weight.
Yeah, throw a garbage bag
yeah,
at him. What's going on here?
I have to make cut.
Oh, I'm my saying, goodness.
Then I sit in the sauna afterwards for quote-unquote recovery.
Okay, yeah.
So you just like being uncomfortable, don't you?
Hey,
that's what it sounds like.
What was that the thing that LeBron said it was his favorite quote? Sometimes you got to be uncomfortable in order to thrive in a situation.
LeBron says lots of things.
Yeah. Well, it was Giannis saying that.
Oh, you said
LeBron,
Giannis. Okay.
It was Giannis saying that, but it was on LeBron's show, and LeBron's like, yeah, that's one of my favorite sayings, too.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah. Here, let me sneak in one more confession real quick. Why not?
Of course.
Go for it.
I don't want to be the wet blanket. I saw a lot of love for Around the Horn last week. I liked Around the Horn when it first came out. Actually, fun anecdote, that show was created at my college, and they always took a lot of pride in that. But I thought it jumped the shark a long time ago. I thought you could have taken that show off the air a decade ago. I did not get all the tributes last week and people like shedding tears over this show. I haven't watched Around the Horn. Growing up, part of the interruption Around the Horn, that was appointment TV
yes.
from 5 to 6 and then SportsCenter at 6. I watched it every weekday. I couldn't tell you the last time I watched Around the Horn. It was, 15 years ago probably. I thought that show has been bad for a while, all due respect. And I saw a lot of tributes and praise. Good for them. They had a long run. Good people over there, I'm sure. But I don't know. It doesn't affect me whatsoever. I couldn't care less.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while. I know a couple people that have been on there. It's been a while since I watched it regularly. I would catch it every now and then, here and there. But yeah, like you said, maybe 10, 12 years since I actually watched it regularly. It had been a while. But I mean, in fairness, it was kind of an institution as far as ESPN goes, in that afternoon slot there, in between, sports centers and things like that, along with Pardon the Interruption. I was more of a Pardon the Interruption guy, but even that, that's not on anymore, is it?
It is.
It is still on. Okay.
I haven't watched that in about a decade either.
It's been a while since. I'm not a big ESPN guy anymore. I'm just not.
That's something, it's funny because
I dip in and out every now and then.
We work in this medium and field and everything, but I never, growing up as a kid, I was always into those shows.
Of course,
I couldn't tell you the last time as an adult that I sat down and watched like sports programming that weren't games. I don't watch any of the debate shows. I don't watch Fox Sport. I don't watch any of those shows. Well, one of my brothers loves that stuff. He watches the shows all day. I just can't do it. I don't know.
Well,
kind of interesting to me.
Kind of like you said about Around the Horn. I think the whole debate or embrace debate culture, it jumped the shark a while ago, too.
Yeah, that's the problem for me.
Because there became too many of them. It just became that little niche genre of the whole debate show.
Yeah.
It became too much.
And a lot of it's just contrived.
They've already given away the secret sauce.
Yeah.
They're very contrived.
Right. It's all, it's not organic.
Most of them don't believe their takes.
No.
You got to take a side.
Skip Bayless before. He's not like the person on TV. I know Lopez just mentioned the other day, he knew Stephen A. when he was a beat writer for the Sixers. He's playing, they all play kind of a character. Anyways.
It's a gimmick, like wrestling, like pro wrestling.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a gimmick. Yeah.
So, Around the Horn, you had a great run. Congrats.
Definitely congrats.
Didn't hit me the same way as it hit a lot of people.
Didn't hit you in the feels, huh?
No, it did not. Hey, OTA start this week for the Texans in about 48 hours. Which Texan needs to show the most this offseason prior to the start of the regular season? We'll give you ours when we come back. It's in the loop.
There are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This Memorial Day, we remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. Thank you from all of us at Sports Radio 610. In for In the Loop, here's Luke Morrow and Chris Partee.
With OTAs beginning later this week, who needs to show the most this offseason for the Houston Texans? You can always text the show, 713-572-4610. Happy to be filling in for the guys today. You can also always get in touch with the show through the YouTube or Twitch streams as well. And we'll engage with you there. OTAs begin Wednesday. You know, this is always an exciting time, the offseason beginning in earnest as we work our way towards week one and the start of the NFL season. When you look at this Houston Texans roster, the depth chart, the team as it's currently constructed, for you, who do you need to see? Not even because, look, let's be real. There's only so much you can take from OTAs all these offseason workouts. But who's somebody that you got to see something from, whether it's a physical transformation, whether it's, you know, a different look, like a higher passion or drive out there, or even just improvement on the field. Who's somebody you're looking for that you need to see improvement from these next couple months for the Texans to feel better about not only them, but the team heading into the regular season?
I mean, for me, I could go with a couple different players along the offensive line, but I'm going to go with Juice Scruggs.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like not just us or me, just the team wants to see more. You know what I mean? Just in general. Drafted as a second rounder, hasn't quite lived up to the potential just yet. And it's still early in his career. He could definitely turn things around. But if I had to go with one player, I'm going with Scruggs right now. Just, you know, I know the team has to see more. And it's tough with offensive linemen because there aren't a lot of discernible, like, I guess, tangible stats you can look at for offensive linemen.
Yeah.
If you dig into the analytics, you know, there's a few there. But it's not as easy as with, you know, a receiver or a quarterback or a running back. You just have to see them on the field as far as offensive linemen go. You have to see what they're doing. You have to see how they look physically. You have to see that drive, I would say even more so than other positions, because there aren't too many stats to point to for offensive linemen, even in comparison to the defensive line. You got all kinds of stats for defensive line. But so if I'm going with one player, I'm going with Scruggs right now along that. But again, there are other players on the offensive line that you want to see more from.
Yeah, I'm going to choose one. But to your point, that's always the knock on Pro Football Focus. And a lot of teams, at least they were using, almost every NFL team was using Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do, but that's always been the complaint. I know Bill Belichick, who often comes up throughout the show, has mentioned that before about it's hard, the grades on Pro Football Focus. Like you said, it's hard to A, grade an offensive lineman like that, but also B, if you don't know the scheme or the play or what the offensive lineman is supposed to be doing on that play. It's
exactly.
Also hard to judge from the outside looking in. That's always been the complaint or defense of those in the league when reporters will throw PFF grades about the offensive lineman. Well, you don't really have the whole story and it's hard to judge. So, but with that said, I stick on the offensive line because I think that's the most important unit of this team. Kind of like we were talking earlier about Christian Walker. I think he's the linchpin for the Astros lineup this year. Whether we like it or not, I think for the Texans, it's the offensive line. They're going to go as far as the line will allow them to. But I'm going to choose a different offensive lineman, and I would say Blake Fisher.
Mm.
I got to see something from Blake because he was a second-round pick in 2024. So this is going into his second year.
Second year.
Yeah, right? Do I have that correct? Yeah, he was drafted 2024. So for Fisher, obviously, the big question, like I said, is offensive line. And they made a lot of moves this offseason. And they've opened a lot of possibilities for the group that's still in there, the offensive linemen. But what I think is concerning for a Blake Fisher is that I think the larger resources were paid to the tackle positions this offseason. So much so that the one draft pick for the offensive line was also a tackle. And we got this story, I think it just came out over the weekend, about how the Texans were trying to trade up with the Patriots 10 spots to get Ursary. Like, that's how much they liked him.
Yeah.
That they wanted to try to move up. Now, fortunately, he was still available when they did
pick when they were on the clock because they couldn't work out that trade. But, you know, Blake Fisher had this great opportunity. You move on from Tunsil. There's this opening there, and yet you still go out and you get Cam Robinson and you get Trent Brown and you draft Ursary, and it's all these moves that makes me feel from the outside looking in that this is not a team that is maybe overly confident in him. If they felt really good about that one tackle position, I don't know if they're making as many moves or if the tackle positions are as in flux as they seem to be, you know, that the confidence isn't there. But I do think I went over this with Ron last week where we were trying to predict our starting five on the offensive line. I do think as of today, he is slotted to be the starter week one.
Yeah.
So they're giving him the opportunities, but I don't know if the confidence is fully there. And that's why I want to see something this offseason where I know, where I can feel confidently as a fan going into the season, okay, I can feel good. You know, we got Cam Robinson, the veteran, at the left tackle. I can feel good about slotting in Blake Fisher at the right tackle. Now, that means your draft pick is not going to start the year, which seems a little odd, but I would prefer it that way. Fisher's been in the league a little bit longer. He's been in this system. He played in meaningful big-time games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to be the start, he should have a head start on that position. And, you know, I want to see him out there looking the part these next few months to say, okay, This guy could be our right tackle. We could feel good about it.
Well, I think the other big thing, well, one thing is depth. You know, you want to have depth along the offensive line. But I think the other thing is competition. Sometimes you bring more guys in to push certain guys. Guys that you want to, like the guys you really want to succeed. If they haven't lived up to it yet, you're bringing in more guys sometimes to push them. Mm-hmm. To see if they have, like you said, do they have that drive? Do they want to get out there and compete? Like, this is their last chance. Because for some, it may be their last opportunity. So you definitely want to see if guys are willing to compete. And a lot of times, that's the most you can ask for. You want a guy that's going to compete. A guy may not have the best physical attributes or physical traits, but will they compete? And sometimes that carries guys sometimes. That a guy is willing to compete and just go at it and get out there and go at it. Now, again, like you said, there's only so much you can take from OTAs and training camp. You got to see it when guys get out there on the field. It starts there with OTAs and training camp, but once a guy gets on the field, what are they going to do? How do they produce?
And I see on the text line from the 979, just because the offensive line is different doesn't mean it will be better, is what they said.
That's true.
For sure.
You know, no but guarantees.
You hope it doesn't get any worse. I think that's the big excitement. I've said this many times on these airwaves. I like the idea from the Texans of making the changes on the offensive line. I didn't love the plan for replacements. I thought there were some other guys that you could have brought in to try to bolster this offensive line a little bit more. I don't know if they made... I think the first part of the plan was really good. I don't know if they made enough strides, though, in filling out that room to improve the offensive line. But I've also said before that the offensive line is the one position in football, I would say, where it's not necessarily about top-end talent. It's more about gelling and being on the same page.
As a group, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you could have guys that are kind of C's across the board, but if they work well together and they're in sync, you know, that's how you can develop a good offensive line. And the analogy I've used in the past is like it's like a cooking show where I think it's Chopped, where you take all these crazy ingredients, but these chefs make this great recipe. And it's something similar here where on paper, these may not be the best names, but you throw them all into the offensive line room, and hopefully you come out with a great recipe where whichever five you come up with, they work well together, and that leads to improvement on the offensive line.
And the other thing is, you know, that's you're 100% correct right there as far as the offensive line needing to gel as a complete unit. But then also, as a coaching staff, you got to put your guys in the right position to be successful, right? So the scheme. Do these guys fit the scheme? Now, that goes obviously on the front office because they're bringing, you know, bringing in the players in terms of a Casario in the front office, bringing in the correct players to fit a certain scheme. That's big, too. Guys could be, you know, you could bring in first-round picks, but if they don't fit your scheme necessarily, they may not be that great on your team. They may work somewhere else. It's all about fit.
Yeah.
When you talk about gelling as a unit.
Yeah, I think I always say fit's the most important thing in life for all things. A partner, you know, a job, a city you live in, it's always about fit.
Always.
So absolutely, with your offensive line and your five guys you go with across the board there on the offensive line. This text also interesting from the 713. I need to see improvement from the head coach.
Ooh.
Instead of being a coordinator that speaks to the team, actually be a head coach for both sides.
of the ball. That's interesting. Where are you on... Look, the first 2 years have been really good. I heard Ron and Clint talk about this last week. Like, what does D'Amico need to do to go from... what were the examples they were using? Your typical defensive coach, and instead becoming like a Mike Tomlin or a Pete Carroll. Where are you on D'Amico?
I like D'Amico as a head coach. I mean, I think he's, you know, obviously he has areas he can improve on. And I would say even some of the better coaches have areas they can still improve on. No one's perfect.
No.
But like the texter said there, yeah, you know, maybe becoming a little more in tune with the offense and what's going on the offensive side, if he's not already. I don't know exactly what's going on in their building. I'm not there. He may be more involved in the offense. I haven't heard that he is, but maybe he's going to get more involved this year with the new coordinator coming in, just to get that person acclimated to the team and, you know, with the scheme and making sure players are getting acclimated there. So, no, that's one step that he can take. Because like we said earlier, the defense is there. Like, I think that's a top five defense already, right? So the defense is there, maybe a little more attention offensively, and maybe become a little, I guess, a little bit more of a delegator, like a lot of the great head coaches have been. And maybe not. Now, we still got guys like Andy Reid that likes to call his own plays offensively and has done that for most of his career as a head coach. But if you look back in the day, you had a lot more guys that were, you know, delegating, like a Jimmy Johnson back in the mid-90s with the Cowboys, didn't necessarily go as heavy one way or the other, even though Jimmy Johnson was a defensive coach coming in. So, you know, man, and I think D'Amico will get there. What is it? What was this, year three? We're going into year four as him as the head coach, right?
Going into three.
Going into three. It's still early for him. You know, I don't think anyone coming in would have said, okay, they're going to win 10 games in his first 2 years. You know, each of his first 2 years. I don't think a lot of people had them doing that.
No.
So it's still a work in progress. The main thing for the Texans is get the offensive line on track. I think that's where everybody is. We've talked about it for months and months and months. Offensive line needs to get on track. I think that's the most important thing for this team.
Yeah, I'm with you. And maybe, as we heard earlier from Rob Ninkovich, maybe Cole Popovich is the secret ingredient. Maybe he's the key to that and the success this year for the Texans. Speaking of the Texans, look, we'll get back to the Astros as well. They had a great weekend. They took 3 out of 4 from the Mariners, coming off probably the biggest win of the season yesterday. But OTAs are beginning this week. When we come back, let's talk about what stands out most on the Texans' schedule this year. It's In the Loop.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.